John chapter 21. After this, Jesus appeared once more to the disciples at Lake Tiberias, and this is how it happened. Simon Peter, Thomas, who was called the Twin, Nathanael, who was from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples of Jesus were all together. Simon Peter said to the others, "I'm going fishing." "We'll be coming with you," they told him. So they went out in a boat, but all night they did not catch anything. As the sun was coming up, Jesus stood at the edge of the water, but the disciples didn't recognize that it was Jesus. Then he asked them, "Boys, young men, guys, fellas," that's a sort of a slangy, colloquial word, and I think Jesus used it to show that although he had risen from the dead, and although he had God's nature now that he was risen from the dead and couldn't die anymore, he was still able to understand them and to act to them in absolutely human language. And he wants to reassure them that he really is with them. Then he asked them, "Boys, guys, haven't you caught anything?" "Nothing," they replied. He said to them, "So throw your net onto the right side of the boat, and you will find." So they threw out the net, and they couldn't pull it back in because they'd caught so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." Now, of course, this is so similar to another miracle that Jesus had done earlier. And because of that, I think that they sort of recognized him. And this is how Jesus works, very subtly. Not just saying, "Hey, everybody, it's me, it's Jesus." He comes and does a miracle that is very similar to one he's done before, so that they recognize him. And this is his way with us. Not so much direct statements in so many words, but the more subtle touches. Because Jesus is the same yesterday as he was today, and as he will be forever when we meet him at the Day of Judgment. When Peter heard that it was the Lord, he wrapped together his fisher's cloak around him, because he didn't have any clothes on, and jumped into the water. And the other disciples came to the shore in the boat, pulling the net full of fish. Now, Peter was more interested in seeing Jesus. Now, you remember the last time he'd seen Jesus was when Jesus had looked at him and he had denied him and said, "I don't know the man." So, the other disciples came to shore in the boat, pulling the net full of fish. They weren't very far from the land, about 100 meters away. When they stepped ashore, they saw a fire of charcoal coals with fish on it and some bread. Now, of course, Jesus had been denied by Peter next to such a charcoal fire. Then Jesus said to them, "You bring some of the fish that you've just caught." You see how lovely Jesus is, absolutely lovely, that even in his resurrection glory, he is not so separate from us. He doesn't realize that men have been out fishing all night would love to have a cooked breakfast waiting for them. And that's just what he did for them. Anyway, he says, "You bring some of the fish that you've caught." Simon Peter went onto the boat and dragged the net ashore full of the fish, 153 of them. Well, that number could mean the children of God, because in Hebrew and Greek, every letter of the alphabet has a numerical value, and it's been said that adds up to 153. Or it's been suggested that they believe there was 153 different types of fish in the sea. Whatever it is, I think the idea is that this is representative of the full sort of harvest of all the fish of the sea. Because Jesus told another parable where he said that the gospel is like a net, and we are the people who are caught in that net under salvation. So then, they catch these 153 big fish with the help of Jesus, and even though there were so many, still the net did not break. And that is the lesson, that God will always provide for us the resources we need to do the work of the gospel. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. So Jesus went over, took the bread, and gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So he was made known unto the disciples on the way to Emmaus in the breaking of bread. And there's this connection between Jesus and resurrection and bread. And the way that he broke the bread would have been the same as he had done earlier. And that's why when he broke the bread with the disciples on the way to Emmaus, they realized that this was Jesus. So his body language was the same before his glorification and after it. So it's this same Jesus who we're going to meet. Really, one and the same Jesus who loved little children, who hated hypocrisy, and who so wanted to save people. After they'd eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these others do?" Because that's what Peter thought, that he loved Jesus more than the rest. "Yes, Lord," he replied, "you know that I love you." He doesn't say, "you know I love you more than the others." He just says, "you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my lambs." A second time, Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," he replied, "you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep." A third time, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was upset because now Jesus was asking him the third time, "Do you love me?" So he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep. Truly I say unto you, when you were young, you would get ready and go wherever you wanted to, but when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will blind you, will bind you and take you where you don't want to go." In saying this, Jesus was indicating the type of death through which Peter would glorify God. And then Jesus said to him, "Follow me." So three times Peter had denied Jesus, and now three times Jesus is saying to him, basically, "It's okay. I know that you love me, so you can feed my sheep." That is, care for the flock, for those whom he was going to bring unto Peter. So you see how Jesus is so beautiful in the way that he deals with this man's weakness. Because, of course, Peter had sinned. He had denied Jesus. And Jesus is so gentle in sorting it out. And this is how we should be with others who fail. Not rubbing it into them all the time that you did this, you did that, you can't come back because of this or whatever. It's a totally wrong attitude. Peter turned around and saw behind him the other disciple whom Jesus loved. That's John, the one who'd leaned close to Jesus at the Last Supper and who had asked, "Lord, who is he that betrays you?" When Peter saw him, he asked Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus replied to him, "If I desire that he lives until I come, what is that to you? Follow me." So a report spread among the followers of Jesus that disciple would not die, but Jesus didn't say that he wouldn't die. He said, "If I want him to keep living until I come, what is that to you?" Here's the disciple who spoke of these things, the one who also wrote them down. And we know that what he said is true. Now, there are many other things that Jesus did. If they were all written down, each of them, I suppose that the whole world could not contain the books that should be written. So, the idea is that Peter is following behind Jesus. That's what he's been asked to do. But he loses his focus upon following Jesus because he gets caught up with John, who he sees is also following Jesus, but behind him. So this is how it often happens, that people get distracted from their focus upon Jesus by other people. And what shall this man do? What about this one? This is why you just got to keep on following behind Jesus and not get distracted by the possible situation or status of somebody else in their following of Jesus.